Well, brethren, today I'd like to review Jeremiah's letter to the Jews while they were in exile in Babylon. Over in Jeremiah 29, it's a message of warning and a message of hope. And it was not only a letter to the Jews of antiquity, but also a message to us that even when we're going through trials, God has a plan and purpose for us. So, brethren, please turn over to Jeremiah 29. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. Jeremiah wrote a letter from Jerusalem to the elders, priests, prophets, and all the people who had been exiled to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. I kind of butchered that one. So we have that Jeremiah is writing to this letter to all the exiles in Babylon. Not just to the elders and the priests and the prophets, but to the entire nation. And he sends this letter with the two of the king Zedekiah ambassadors to Nebuchadnezzar. How do you say that, Mike?
Nebuchadnezzar.
There you go. And we what? Knesser. Okay, we got it. And we can read the contents of the letter starting in verse 4. So Jeremiah 29 and verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminish. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For it is its peace, you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely in you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. So the first thing we see here is that the exiles are being called to settle down in Babylon and to make it their home. They are to build houses, plant gardens, and even marry and have children. This might seem a little strange to us at first. We might expect God to rescue the people from captivity and bring them back to their homeland. But as we read on, we see that God has a plan for the exiles in Babylon. He tells them in verse 7 to seek the peace and prosperity of the city and to pray for it because their own welfare is tied to the welfare of that city. In other words, God wants his people to be a blessing to the place where they find themselves, even if it's not the place that they would have chosen themselves. This message is just as relevant for us today as it was for the exiles in Babylon. We find ourselves being put through trials. Maybe it's difficult with your boss, or maybe going through some health challenges. Or maybe you just don't agree with the leadership of the city, the state, or country. But God's call is to us to be the same as the exiles, brethren. We must be striving to be examples of godliness in all that we do. We might not be able to change our circumstances, but we can change our attitude. We can choose to seek the peace and prosperity of the place where we find ourselves, to be a blessing to those around us, and to trust that God has a plan for us, even if it's not the plan that we would have chosen for ourselves. So continuing in verses 8 and 9, we read, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. The second thing we see in this letter is that the exiles are being warned to not listen to the false prophets who are telling them that they will soon be rescued and be brought back to their homeland. In verses 8 and 9, Jeremiah says that these are false prophets, prophesying lies, and they will be punished for their deception. Instead, the exiles are told in verse 10 that they will be in Babylon for 70 years, and that only after that time will God bring them back to their homeland. Brethren, this message is a hard one to hear, especially for people who have already been suffering so much. But it's a reminder to us that sometimes God's plan for us involves waiting and trusting, even when we don't understand why. It can be tempting to listen to false prophets, to people who promise us quick fixes and easy answers, but we must be careful not to be led off course. Instead, brethren, we must trust in God's timing and His promises, even when they seem far off. The third thing we see in the letter is that God has a plan for the exiles in Babylon. And in verse 11, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." This is a message of hope for the exiles, and it's a message of hope for us as well, brethren. No matter what we're going through, God has a plan for us. And that plan is not to harm us, but to prosper us and to give us hope and a future. This message of hope is not a promise that everything will be easy or that we will never suffer. Rather, brethren, it's a promise that God is with us in the midst of our suffering, and that He has a plan for us even in the depths of our trials. God tells them that they are not alone. And in verses 12 to 14, we read some of these promises. And in verse 12 we read, "In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land." Brethren, we are foreigners in this land at this time. But when we pray, we know that God hears. When we look for Him, we can see evidence of His presence. And we too have our promise that our captivity, our enslavement to sin will end, and that it will be brought into and it will be brought, that we will be brought into God's kingdom. The fourth thing, brethren, that we see in this letter is an admonition that the same behaviors that the exiles were being called out for back in verses 8 and 9, namely rising up their own prophets to give them false hope, those same issues exist with those who remained in Jerusalem. And in verses 15 through 17, we read, "Because you have said, 'The Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon,' therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king who sits on the throne of David, concerning all the people who dwell in this city, and concerning your brethren who have not gone out with you into captivity. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send on them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like rot figs that cannot be eaten. They are so bad." We too are sometimes protected from things even when we don't realize it. The Jews in exile were able to live in relative safety. They were able to build families, homes, and a comfortable life in Babylon. This may and likely wasn't what they imagined for themselves, but it was far more tolerable than what God was going to do back in Judea. And sometimes we don't know what God is protecting us from, and we should be thankful for those things that they don't happen. Which brings us, brethren, to our fifth and last point in this letter. God is just, and He will bring His judgment upon those who refuse to follow His ways. And He specifically calls out two of the false prophets who He will have put to death by Nebuchadnezzar. We know that God is merciful and that He has a plan to bring many sons to glory, but that there are some that refuse to accept God's way of life. And we should be careful to make sure that our own thoughts and words align with God and not lean to our own understanding. The false prophets that are called out here in verse 21 and 22 were telling lies in God's name. The false prophets, they were telling the people what they wanted to hear instead of what God wanted. Kind of like what happened back in the 90s in the worldwide days. And picking up in verse 20, we read, "Therefore, listen to this message from the Lord, all you captives there in Babylon. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says about your prophets, Ahab, son of Kaleah, and Zedekiah, son of Masareah, who are telling you lies in my name. I will turn them over to Nebuchadnezzar for execution before your eyes. Their terrible fate will become proverbial, so that the Judean exiles will curse someone by saying, 'May the Lord make you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon buried alive. For these men have done terrible things among my people. They have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives, and I have lied, and have lied in my name, saying things I did not command. I am a witness to this. I, the Lord, have spoken.'" So in summary, brethren, Jeremiah's letter to the exiles is a powerful reminder that God has a plan for us, even when we're going through trials and difficulties. We must trust in his timing and his promises and strive to be examples of godliness in all situations and in all places that we may find ourselves. Listening to false prophets can lead us off course, but if we choose to seek peace and prosperity of the place where we're at, we can be a blessing to those around us and trust in God's plan for us.